We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, everyone, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It is Sunday night, May 2nd. I am Scott Genstead, as you see on the screen there, joined as always on Sunday nights by the wonderful Jeff Erickson. If you guys could please rate or review the podcast, we do appreciate that. I know I say that every week, but it does go a long way towards helping people find the podcast, et cetera. So we would greatly appreciate that. We are live on StreamYard here. So if anybody's joining us here, welcome. I'm glad to. I got to jump on it. It's the late at nighttime. If you're on the East Coast, it's really late. If you're on the West Coast, not too bad. Jeff, how are you? It's May. We're in week six of the baseball season. It's flying.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm a little loopy. Had my second vaccination on Friday, and
congrats on that, though.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited actually to get it done. But nobody cares about that. I'm in awe of you because you mentioned Sam Burns on the Gaming Golf podcast on Tuesday. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We really appreciate it there. But got a winner in Sam Burns on the golf podcast. So I got to shout that one to the heavens. We're not really good at self-promotion.
A 90-1 winner, Jeff.
Yes. And you know,
a long shot. Those are hard to find. I was pretty fired up by that. And it was a fun tournament to watch.
Yeah. Ken Kreitz won't be upset about us not talking, leading off with baseball right away, just because we want to promote this other podcast that we're doing too.
But exactly.
Anyways, that's on Tuesdays. So tune in on that and all that. But we got a lot of baseball to talk. It's been a very active week. Pretty good week for me in baseball. So, you know, there's a lot of injuries, though, for us to cover.
It was a horrible week here. It was a week of injuries, bad performances. I got Austin Gombert on last Monday. So it was I was like top 25 in the overall, the main event. And now I'm not in the top 100, I don't think. So it was one of those weeks where, you know, it's early. You know, there's a lot of movement right now, but one of those things that it happens. But I want to talk about week six. I want to talk about Fab. Fab was interesting this week in the terms of, like, it wasn't a lot of huge names, but I looked in my leagues. There were like multiple guys that went over $100. So I want to talk about that. There's a lot of injuries to talk about. We'll get to that also. And there's a bunch of players at the end I want to talk about, you know, guys that are either overperforming, underperforming, struggling, whatever it may be. But let's talk about week six first. There's 12 teams that play seven games this week. Jeff, we still have two teams that play five. The White Sox and your wonderful Reds.
Yeah, everyone's got to take their turn. One of the offshoots of interleague play, unfortunately, is, you know, because there's the odd number of teams in each league, there's by definition always an interleague series. When you have an interleague series, there's almost always a lot of two-game series. So, unfortunately, that leads to a lot of five-game weeks like we have here.
We do. We've got the White Sox. So they're actually playing each other. The White Sox and Cincinnati obviously playing each other on Tuesday. That's a note, though. That is the one AL team in an NL park. Although, Jeff, I'm not sure the White Sox have any players left that can sit for the not DH.
And yet still, Andrew Vaughn will not have a way to play. That's going to be that amazing.
You got to think he plays now. Luis Robert, we're going to hit that, but goes on the IL today. You got to think Vaughn seems to be playing a little bit more. You got to think now it's pretty much has to be full time, right?
You would think so, but not really. I think it's Lurie Garcia. I'm leery of Lurie, but he's going to qualify a lot of places, and he's going to run. And you know, Tony La Russa loves himself some speedy guys, so I think they'll find a way to do that. I think some of it is defense, though. I mean, some of the reason why Vaughn doesn't play as much is he's a first baseman trying to play left field.
Yeah. Speaking of which, do you think that we're going to get any weird Rocky stuff with them playing Matt Adams over CJ Cron at first base any more than they should, like once a week?
I don't even want to think about that.
It's painful, isn't it? Painful.
I mean, nothing against Matt Adams, actually. I mean, I'd like to see him. I mean, he's actually a pretty ideal platoon partner if you're going to have platoons. But yeah, I have too much invested in Cron. So I'm self-interested in my response, which means I can't really, you know. But if I'm really being fair, I don't think it's likely to be that. I mean, but all it takes is Cron to hit another slump. And let's face it, one thing he doesn't do is hit for average. And if that continues to be the case, if he has another cold spell, who knows, he could be on the wrong side of a platoon real fast.
Yeah. He started slow and then he picked it up. So I can't fathom it. It's the wrong side of the platoon. I can't fathom they have Cron sit more than, I don't know. You'd think once a week, but and Adams can pinch hit a bunch, maybe pinch hit late in games. But I really hope they don't do it. I think Cron could be a monster if he just can sit there and play the whole season.
Right. And I think that, I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence the Rays and the Twins let him go after 30 homer seasons. I think I don't think he offers a ton defensively, and he doesn't hit for average. Maybe he strikes out a little too much. It's fun when he gets a hold of one, but his skill set wasn't considered that valuable at times. So at least for the cost it was coming to.
Someone's asking what actor you look like. The answer is Ryan Reynolds. Jeff looks like Ryan Reynolds. So that's what we're going to go with.
I haven't heard that one before.
I was just trying to give you a compliment.
Thank you. I do appreciate any compliment I can take. I mean, they're far and fleeting. So
Before we get a foul, let's talk about some good schedules this week. I think I like the Twins most of the schedules. They play 7 games. They have 4 against at Texas, which is not the best place to hit, but I like hitting against those pitchers. Then 3 at home against the Tigers. Obviously, none of those guys you really worry about pitching-wise. I think it's a big week. A big week for the Minnesota offense this week.
They need a big week. What's the weather supposed to be like there?
Texas will be indoors, which is nice. I don't know what the weather is like next weekend in Minnesota, but you got to be thinking it's warming up by now, right?
You would think, but it is Minnesota. They have 2 seasons. It's winter and June.
It's 61 and sunny on Friday. Dips down a little bit to 54 on Saturday and 57 on Sunday.
Okay, no sleet storms. That's a start. Compare that to the last time they were home when they were playing Pittsburgh, and it looked miserable there. And that was, by the way, a weekend ago. That's why I get a little wary still in Minnesota. But, yeah, that's one thing we didn't have last year. We didn't have hey, let's fade those Minnesota hitters in April. We forgot to talk about that, really.
Yeah, we did. I think we were just so excited there was actually baseball in April. But we talked about a little bit.
Yeah,
we talked a little about cores, but I think the cold weather and rainouts were tough in a lot of spots. And you get a lot of those 9-inning games get rained out into 7-inning games that you're losing at bats there too. The A's are interesting this week. They have 7 home games, but they get 6 lefties. You don't see that very often. A good week if you wanted to slide in Stephen Piscotty. He'll probably play a bunch this week. I wish Chad Pinder was back because it'd be a good week for him. Jeff, I want to ask you, Sean Murphy's hitting cleanup right now. I think that there's not more than probably 2 or 3 catchers I'd want the rest of the way over Murphy, I think. I think it's coming, and it's now, and he's hitting cleanup. He's hitting 4th or 5th. Now that Olsen's back, probably dropped down to 5th. But in the middle of that lineup, a good week for Sean Murphy getting 6 lefties.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, we saw that a little bit, with the series against the Rays. I think he homered twice in that series. You can see it. It's coming.
Did you see the homer off Diego Castillo?
I did. Yes, it was very nice.
They were like 450. I was like, "There's no way that was only 450." It's one of those like perfect launch angle, perfect swing home runs. Yeah. It was beautiful. It didn't mean anything. They ended up losing in the 9th, but it was nice anyway. Did you happen to see Ramon Laureano's 8th inning today?
Yeah, that was eventful. That catch where he face planted and held on, made the great catch, and then Oppo Boppo. I mean, that's a great inning right there.
Yeah, talk about having an inning. He's one of the, he's so weird. He's like just fully intense at all times. Even like the post game interview, he was like still fully in like game mode and intense. And there's, I don't know if there's an off button with him. I don't know how friendly or nice he'd be to hang out with, but I tell you what, he is intense and full go at all times. And he had a throw earlier this week that was insane, threw out a guy at third. And when he's healthy and going, he's a really exciting guy to watch.
Hard to believe that he got in a fight with the entire opposing team's dugout one time. But yeah, provoked or otherwise, still
certainly provoked. It sounded like
absolutely provoked. But sometimes some players are more easily provoked than others. But you know what? We want to see a healthy season from him. And one of the things is, you know, he goes full out, runs into walls, which is one of the reasons why you don't often get full healthy seasons from him.
It's true.
So. Knocking on the wood of my desk here and hoping that he stays healthy for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that catches an example of a great play, but you're like, yeah, you know, a little bit one way or the other, and you're going to get hurt doing that. But there's no off button there, which is fun as a fan, but yeah, you always worry about that.
It's a good thing that no other outfielders are getting hurt this year. So he's, you know, if you've got three other replacements.
I was doing fab today, and like every time I was like, I think I'm set, somebody else got hurt, and I had to go adjust. It was crazy. We'll get into injuries, but it was a wild, wild weekend of injuries and all like a lot of big names too, which is maddening. Yeah. Red Sox have a good schedule this week too. I like them. They only play six games, but they're another team that they get three in Fenway against Detroit and then three in Camden Yards against Baltimore. That's about a perfect six game matchup you can get there. That's like, that's exactly what you want. It's a lot of JD Xander Devers this week. That you want all the Red Sox week in DFS in season long. It needs to be a big Boston week too.
Yeah. Now the question is, did you fall into the Admiral Akbar pitcher of the week this week in Nick Pivetta or Martin Perez facing those Tigers?
So I didn't. I looked at Pivetta closely just because he's been good, and I just every time I look, I see the walks, I freak out a little bit, and I stayed away. I'm probably a little gun shy after getting smoked on the Austin Gomber two step. Although he did get a win the second start, he did make up for a little bit, but that first start, like it is funny because everybody's like, oh, he can't face the Giants, all that kind of stuff. He would have gotten smoked against him. He just had no stuff that night. He let every curveball he threw was literally belly button high, just hanging. He just had no stuff that night. He would have gotten smoked by anybody. It was just a bad time for him to have no stuff coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, he had the Joe Ross week where he got torched in the first start and then he sneakily gave you a win in the second one there, but you already like reflexively singing, I am Gomber, man. But
I still dropped him as quickly as I could this week.
Yeah, I know. I did pick up Pivetta in one of my OCs, and I did pick up Martin Perez, I think, for a bare minimum in another. Just going for the Tigers start. I mean, they are so bad right now, Scott.
Corey Kluber housed them. And Kluber looked good, but like they just have nothing right now. Yeah.
I did read a note about how, you know, the catcher change is helping a lot of these Yankees pitchers, including Kluber today, that just – calling for pitches and sequences, framing, all that. I mean, it does matter. Whether it's attribution error or not is debatable, but, you know, they are pitching better now. It was Baltimore and Detroit this week, so that's the other
thing. And it's funny. You and I talked last week. We're like, you know, if people were about the Yankees, like, it's going to get healthy. It's going to happen here, and this is the start of it, Baltimore and Detroit. But it's funny. You watch Kluber. He had the highest swing and miss on his changeup in his career today. So, like, clearly they're calling something right. The pitch is working well. He looked really good. It's funny. It was a two-run lead late when Chapman came in. And the Yankees now just like, you just can't get anybody on base for Miguel Cabrera. It's just too dangerous to have him at the tying run. And I'm like, you mean the Miguel Cabrera is hitting 115 right now? Like, we're not – this is not 2011. Like, I don't know what they're looking at. But, like, Miguel Cabrera is not very good right now.
No, he isn't. It's the idea of it. It's every time Albert Pujols does something positive, you know, they like or Miggy, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you can't do that to this veteran here.
Yeah,
it's a reflex. I mean, we all have it to a certain extent, and I know I lapse into, you know, announcer criticism all the time. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, watching SportsCenter at night and they're talking, can you believe this wasn't the friendly confines? This was Cincinnati where these homers were going. Have you seen a game in Great American Ballpark? There's a reason why they call it Great American Small Park.
It was especially jumpy today, too.
Yes, it was. I mean, but, you know, it's like, yeah. And you know, it just, yeah, we all have those reflexes that you know, okay, this is what it used to be. It's tough to kind of break out of that. I do that, too, from time to time. You know, things change. You know, ballparks change sometimes. So the perception's up.
It's been a while since Miggy coming to the plate, like, really scared you a lot, though.
Right. I mean, he can run into one just like anybody else. And because he, especially because he's, all he's doing is going for the downs with every swing.
His OBP is under 200 right now.
Yeah.
It's not good.
That's not good.
Colorado, we talked about earlier. We're talking about CJ Krohn. They're home for the first half of the week. The Giants are going into going to Coors Field, facing three righties. I'm hoping we get a little bit of Alex Dickerson action. Mike Tauchman was a big pickup this week too. Got to think they both play the first three games because it's all righties. Alex Dickerson's kind of hanging by a thread though. He needs to get warm right now. Otherwise that crowded outfield is going to be a problem once Mike Yastrzemski comes back.
Yeah. I was just going to mention Yastrzemski. That's the big issue. I mean, Tauchman's a nice little ad. I think they did well. They got Wandy Peralta for nothing and then turned him into Mike Tauchman. And we'll see what happens when everybody comes back. But I mean, Tauchman's a nice little fit. He couldn't get any playing time with the Yanks this year, but he can play a little.
Yeah, I think so too. We'll talk about him when we get to Fab too. He was a guy that was pretty popular in the pickups. Anything else for week seven that you really jumped out? Or I guess week six. Week six jumped out to you before we get into the Fab for this week?
No, I mean the Reds, they can kind of figure out a little bit of their bullpen maybe this week, but they can rest some guys a lot. I just think today was like a giant write-off. So if you are like a TJ Antone guy, I mean, this was bad, but
I mean, he hung a pitch to Ian Happ and he hung it and Happ smoked it. I mean, it's going to happen. When you throw that many breaking pitches, it's going to happen. He just happened to get out when he did it. I mean, make a mistake and he paid for it. But I still think the TJ Antone's really, really good and is going to have a great season.
Home runs are down in baseball, except this one game single-handedly changed that. But
yeah, right.
Everybody was throwing hangers, though, in that game. I mean, Tyler Mahle threw a couple that just were nothing balls. And, you know, to the Cubs' credit, they hammered them. I just think it was one of those days.
And they happen, and you see it kind of just kind of rolls, and you know, it snowballs, and you're in trouble. If the Reds have a save opportunity on Tuesday, if you had to bet, who gets the save opportunity as a Reds fan?
Antone, followed by Doolittle, followed by Sims, followed by Garrett, and any one of those four has a chance.
I think that's the problem, is any of those four had a chance. If I had a bet, I think Garrett gets the next one for some reason.
Yeah, last two outings have been good.
Yeah, and he pitched later than everybody else today. Maybe just when the pitch, they threw him an extra innings, but great, he wanted to fight the entire Cubs team. But
I think that's one of the reasons why they're hoping not to have to use him today, to be honest. I mean, so that was weird, by the way. So 10th inning, Garrett comes in, you know, runner on second, gets the first guy. They intentionally walk the next guy, gets the next guy. They pull him. And you know
what? That was the pitcher, right?
Or the pitcher, a pinch-hitting pitcher. Jake Arrieta came in because David Bell had to get the platoon advantage against Jake Arrieta, I guess. I mean, Garrett looked really good in the first two batters he actually tried to face. So that he gets like a walk at it to his thing. I mean, it's just so dumb. I mean, I don't know. What if that game had gone tied later and all that? You're just burning a pitcher for no particular reason.
I like our Reds, but I have to admit, I was kind of hoping after they did that area was going to get a single just because it was so absurd to change pitchers for the pitcher.
Yeah, it's just – and Bell does that. He does a lot of mid-inning switches, loves to do that double switch. I think he overmanages by a tad on that.
Yeah, today was definitely a good example of that. But let's jump into Fab. It was not quite the huge week of, you know, a bunch of guys going for a lot of money, but it was still a lot of activity. My main events, there were three guys over $100 in one of them and one guy over $200 in the other. The big prize this week was Shane McClanahan, who looked really good against the A's on whatever that was, Wednesday, I think.
Yeah.
Threw four innings, had five strikeouts, no walks, two earned runs. Like that first inning, I was like, oh, I'm going to see what this guy has. And he's pumping like 100.5 fastballs, and he throw a 93 mile an hour slider and just making people look stupid the first time through the order. I mean, it was like, where did this guy come from? Where's his stuff? I mean, I knew he was a big prospect, but, you know, kind of ranked as a reliever. They weren't sure he's going to be able to stretch out. But second time through the order was not quite as good. He kind of left a changeup up to Matt Chapman, and he hit a home run on it. But how aggressive are you with McClanahan? What do you kind of see the Rays doing with him going forward? Because Rays pitchers are always a tough to figure out. They're really going to kind of let them go.
I was very aggressive. I got him in one of two mains.
How much?
79-69.
What? 79?
Yeah. It was nice.
That's the cheapest I've heard on him in a main event.
Yeah. The other one, he went 178. But wait, there's more. I got him in both online championships. 57-0. Literally, nobody else bid on him.
12 teams, there was one McClanahan bid. That's pretty wild. He got two starts this week, too.
And then the other one, 117-81. So I mean, I chalk up the online championship to, okay, it's, that's just the way it is. It's just weird. Weirdness of the online championship.
And a lot of teams have really good pitchers and they don't need someone. In the main event, you're always going to have some teams that need pitching, but I'm still surprised there wasn't even like a keep him honest. Somebody threw like, you know, 10, 20 bucks in there on him. That's pretty strange. There was a lot of, talk about him. He went for 203 and 257 in my two main events. So you're 79, I think, is going to look really, really good. And we see all the results tomorrow.
Yeah. Or he'll get one start. Yeah. They'll send him back down after that. You know, we got to make room for Chris Archer, like that.
I think one positive is the way they used Waka today makes me think that they're not lining him up to kind of piggyback on McClanahan on Tuesday. They might go Luis Patino is the problem. You could go, four innings.
They will. Yeah. They will. It's just I want him to go five innings. That's what I'm hoping for, basically.
Yeah, you're hoping you don't get four and then three of Patino. You want to get five and then two or three of Patino. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, they say that they want to stretch him out. They really seem committed to making him a starter, making him kind of a five-inning guy. The stuff is there. He started 22 games in 2019 in single A through triple A. He kind of moved through the levels. Only 120 innings pitched, but yeah, he started 22 games, Jeff. He had 5+ innings in 19 of those. I was actually surprised that it was that many. I thought I was going to click on his game. I looked at his minor league game log. I thought it was going to be a lot of 3 innings and 4 1/3, that kind of stuff. 19 of the 22 starts were over 5 innings. I was really surprised by that. So it seems like he is a guy that they're willing to go past 5 with. I just don't know if they'll do it at the major league level, but they did in the minors, surprisingly.
I just think it's like from outing to outing, how efficient is he? What's his pitch count after four? What's it after three? How much does he labor? I mean, you watch the start against RAs, his stuff will play. I mean, and that 101-mile-an-hour fastball that goes away from right-handed hitters.
Tailing.
Pump that into my veins, man. I mean, it's just that's great stuff.
I think it was the second batter. I think Ramon Leão struck out. This is the first thing. Second, I was like, who the hell is this guy? This is crazy. Yeah. And then everybody, a bunch of people were like, oh, his fastball dipped in the fourth. I'm like, yeah, he's still throwing 98. Like, if you're dipping to 98, like, I think we can work with that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward. The A's going to face him again at the end of the week, assuming they stay on schedule. He gets the Angels the first half of the week. So as long as he can get Trout out, who's hitting about 650 or whatever he's hitting. But, Trout, Ohtani, Rendon, it'll be an interesting middle lineup there. But it'll be fun. It's definitely one of those guys that I'm gonna flip on his start and definitely watch it because he was really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's not the greatest two-step, but it is a two-step, and it's presumably a pretty good team in the Rays. And of course, I just believe in the stuff. You try to find difference makers, guys that can. Hoping that are not just a two-stepper, but are someone you're going to hold all year. Yep. I mean, that's the hope here. Same thing with Daniel Lynch on the Royals, if you could get him.
Yeah, Lynch he was available. I saw one main event he was available, but he wasn't available most of them because he was not drafted. So he's going to get two starts this week, and everybody's going to be watching. If those two starts are big, that's going to be a huge Fabapalooza on him next week. I saw one team, our friend Siege, CJ Kaltenbach, they went for like 150 and got him in a league that he was drafted and dropped. And I think that's going to be, if he has a couple of good starts, that's going to look really cheap in a week.
Yeah, Siege also got him in Tout Wars mixed auction league.
Okay,
over Jeff Zimmerman, like 114-64 or something like that. It's like a 50.
You got him in AL Tout, right?
And I got him in AL Tout, and I got him for a little less than that, which again I was pretty happy with.
Did he go for a lot less than McClanahan?
Yeah, I was the second bidder, McClanahan in AL Tout, 177-133. The news came out late. Maybe 2 hours before the Fab deadline in Tout, which
your guys' deadline's a little earlier, right?
Yeah, 8 o'clock Eastern, five p.m. my time. It was like, okay, is this just a one-off? Are they trying to buy time? And they said, nope, we're moving Singer and we're moving Junis to the bullpen.
Strange move over instead of Brad Keller.
Well, do you really want Brad Keller coming out of the pen? Junis might have some nasty stuff coming out of the pen.
But I think Brad Keller starting every fifth day if I can have Junis instead, too. It works both ways, I guess.
I think that, Keller has a history of being pretty good with him. So maybe it's like, okay, we can fix him. Let's buy some time. You give him one more month, and then if it still doesn't work, okay, out you go. And then in comes Junis. You have that as an option, too.
Yeah, Junis would probably be pretty good out of the pen. I just liked what I'd seen him as a starter. It's funny, he was available in one of my leagues. I was like, oh, I better pull back that bid because I obviously didn't want him, kind of middle relieving out of the pen. But it was an interesting move there. I want to ask you about that. I was in on in Fab, and I thought I was going to kind of slide him through, and I wasn't that close as Garrett Richards. I guess the second really good game kind of made put him on everybody's radar. But he had two good starts this week. He had a 7-inning, 10-strikeout performance against the Mets. And then today he pitched 5 innings against Texas, had, I think, six, seven strikeouts, 1 earned run. The thing that I liked about him is I went and looked, and like he threw 95 pitches today. His 92nd pitch was 95.2 miles an hour. So he like kept that velocity the whole way. You can see, you look at his velocity for the season, it's a little bit down. You look at the last couple of starts, he's picked it back up. So I really like to see that bump up. And, you know, he had a 6-walk game a couple outings ago. So there's always the scare with Garrett Richards, always the scare of him getting injured too. But
sure.
I don't know, two good starts from a guy that, you know, at one point in time was going to be a pretty up and coming starting pitcher. I was in on Richards this week and I got outbid in the main event. I think I was in the 30s and he went for 54.
Went for 67, and I'm in two mains. He was only available in one. He went for 67, beat a tied 67-67, but the team lower in the standings won it. I had a lower bid on that, but I also had McClanahan already, so I wasn't going to get him.
So another guy that I thought I was going to sneak through, and I kind of added him late after kind of seeing what was going on in the afternoon games, was Michael Givens in Colorado. Daniel Bard has struggled in a big way. His ERA is now 9 on the season. He's given up a couple home runs. He's given up 16 hits in 9 innings. He's been really, really bad. Givens is, the guy that probably we know in Baltimore, but he's been pretty good. He went for over $100 in my main event, Jeff. I tried to slide him through, and I was clearly I was not the only one that was thinking that maybe Colorado makes a change here this week.
Yeah, Casey Cha got him in ours, and I didn't bid on him. I mean, we could have used another closer too. So that's a fail on my part there. But he also is the guy that has Bard in our league too. So for what it's worth. 17 versus nobody else bidding, and then 23-1 in my other main. So
I would have snuck him through there. He went for 101 in one of my leagues and like 60 mm-hmm. something in the other.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, we always say don't watch your closer. That definitely applies to Givens. It definitely applies when you have a full Coors Field week coming up. And it's just like, okay, he is a closer. So, therefore,
he might be. He isn't necessarily to make the change first, right? But
yeah.
The one positive you're looking for it is it's only 10 and 2/3, but he has dropped his walk rate pretty significantly. He's down under 5%. It's only 10 innings, so I get it. If he throws a couple walks, that goes back up. But, I mean, 11 strikeouts, 2 walks. He's been pretty good. I just think that if they do give Bard a break and kind of take him out, I think he's probably the next guy up.
Yeah, I mean, he's closed before. I mean, that's usually the default. They traded for him, hoping to shore up their late inning relief. Now, granted, that cost is sunk. So, you can't change your mind on that. But I think that there's a lack of viable other options. Oberg's out again. I mean, they're the Rockies, though. I mean, I think of all the more reason why they should give him a chance. Highlight him. Let him get like 5 to 7 saves. Oh, flip him for whatever you can. They got a new GM in there now. Maybe that kind of encourages them to do things a little bit smarter. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think that he's the next guy up, and where I needed closers, I did some bids on. But I just, it's the main event. You're not going to sneak anybody through, and I should have known that. But I wasn't going to be aggressive enough to get him anyway, but I probably should up my bids a little bit. But a guy who was been on a lot of main events this week is Tony Gonsolin. Dustin May grabbed his arm on Saturday. I held him for a week just because the MRI is tomorrow. I'm pretty sure he's going to be done for the year. I don't think it's going to be a positive MRI. The way he reacted, talking about shooting pain in his elbow, that's never really a good thing for a pitcher, especially one who throws that hard. Gonsolin has been out with his shoulder injury. He's being stretched out right now. He threw 20 pitches in a bullpen on Thursday, supposed to pitch another 30 pitches on Monday. There was a quote today that they're stretching him out. They want to get him to 5 innings, 75 pitches, and he's going to be back in 3 or 4 weeks. In one league, I picked him up. In the other league, I have about 400 guys that are hurt, so I couldn't really take the spot. But the thing with Gonsolin is he's good when he pitches. Who knows what's going to happen with the shoulder injury.
Yeah, and it's tough to carry a guy for 3 to 4 weeks until he's ready, too. That said, we put a nominal bid on him. Vlad Sedler swooped in and got him for 57 with a second place bid of 29. This is the second of our drops that he swooped in on already. He got Crichton too from us, where we failed to boot and rally properly. And he's winning this league too, of course. So I'm going to give him plenty of pub Follow him on Twitter at RotoGut.
And if you follow him on Twitter, you'll see that he's leading the league because I think he posted his standings yesterday.
He's having a good start.
He's having a good start, and he's obviously one of the better players out there. But I figured he'd pick up Gonsolin. He's a Dodger fan. I know he likes Gonsolin. Just one of those things. I mean, he's 2.3 ERA last year, 2.93 in 2019. It's a bit of a leap of faith. You have to have the roster spot, which I didn't in most places. But 3 to 4 weeks is a while to hold, and you know, with a shoulder injury, who knows what it looks like coming back. But it's one of those plays that has some upside if you can do it, but it's tough to do it for a month.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing I'll say this, that works in his favor about it being a month. The Dodgers aren't going to need a fifth starter for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I saw that.
David Price is out several weeks still with the hammy. Yep. So, okay, now you're rolling the dice that in 2 weeks they don't turn to Mitchell White or Josiah Gray, or they just, so it's the chances of Gonsolin being the guy when they do eventually need a fifth starter again is higher because of that.
Do you remember back in, April when we thought the Dodgers had too many starters and be frustrating for them going to be sitting guys and skipping starts and all that?
Yeah, I do. I also remember how I moved up and made sure that we got Gonsolin the 15th also, and then cut him after 1 week and then see a chief rival in my league pick him up. So, yeah, I remember all that, Scott. Thanks for bringing that up, though.
It's wild how we talked about a month ago that there was going to be just too many Dodger starters. They're all going to sit. You know, Kershaw and Buehler are going to skip starts because they have so many starters, and now they're down to four.
Yeah, it's wild. But their bullpen has been just hammered with injuries, too. It's not just the starters.
Yeah, I mean, losing Corey Knebel essentially for the year, it sounds like he's not going to come back, was a big thing. And they're trying to – it seemed like they're trying to be really careful with Kenley on back-to-back. So they just – I mean, they blew a game. I think it was two Sundays ago because they just didn't want to use Kenley back-to-back, and they blew it in the ninth. I forget who it was. It was Jimmy Nelson. Jimmy Kelson came in and blew up. But it's just they're trying to be careful with guys, and they're losing guys. It's just their bullpen's a little bit thin right now. They struggled this week. They've had a tough like 10 days, which they probably won't have many bad stretches like that. But I think they let it all out today. I think they scored about 16 runs on Milwaukee. But that was to save a 4-game sweep too.
Yeah, I mean they've run into this juggernaut schedule with Padres, our Reds, and the Brewers.
There you go, our Reds. I love it. We talked about Nick Pivetta. I think we're talking before we started. You picked him up in a league. He was another guy. He's got two starts this week. We're talking about Boston, Detroit. 2.81 ERA was for five starts, 25 and two-thirds innings, 24% walk or strikeout rate, 10.5% swing strike rate. He's been missing some bats. Every time I look at him, though, I see those walks, 16.3%. Yeah. That's way above his career norms, though. That's almost double. Usually a single-digit walk guy. How good are you feeling about your Pivetta two-step this week?
Oh, I think it could be an Admiral Akbar. It's a trap, but I took the chance on it anyhow in one of my onlines because I think I needed to do some dramatic moves. But
Detroit and Baltimore too, so it's good matchups.
Yeah, I mean it is. I think it's in Baltimore though for the second.
It is season. The second one, yeah. Is.
Although really, Fenway, Camden. I mean, they're Orioles Park at Camden Yards. Sorry, I got to call it by its proper name, but both of those.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean, aren't great locations. So the location matters less than the opponent. I mean, the fact is, In an American league, if there are, except for maybe the Rangers, are there two opponents you'd rather have more? No, probably not. Definitely not the Tigers, maybe the Royals, maybe the Rangers. But that's it.
Yeah, the Royals just win games, though. They don't, their offense seems to be struggling, but they just find a way to win games. They get a lot of good pitching.
Yeah, they do. They
I think
do.
Danny, and, you know, I think Danny Duffy's given up one or two runs all year.
Yeah, he's been really good. He goes five innings, maybe six every time, but that's good enough.
It is. So let's jump into the hitters on FAB this week. But first, a note from our sponsors.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning Instant Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
So, Jeff, I want to ask you about the first hitter I was looking at this week. Tyler O'Neill was drafted in a bunch of places, then dropped. He was kind of picked up in some 15s last week when he came back, but he was available in a lot of 12-teamers this week. He's been stealing and running since he got returned from the IL. He has now has 5 home runs, 2 stolen bases, hitting .270 over his first 65 plate appearances. Playing time looks pretty locked in right now. The Cardinals definitely need some outfielders. Smoking the ball, 46% hard hit rate, 19% barrel rate. He's just mashing right now. The K to walk is brutal, though, and always the concern. He's got 22 strikeouts and 1 walk. That is obviously a ratio you're not very happy with. K rate's 34%. How do you feel about O'Neill? Obviously, the talent's there. The skills are there. What do you think about him kind of stat-wise going forward, though?
He is my son who has returned. Like in the Michael Scott trying to say prodigal son sort of way. We got him back. Chu and I got him back in one of our two mains. And nice. In fact, we picked him up in both mains last week.
Good timing.
Yeah. Well, he came back on Sunday last week. And, yep. It was like, we got to be aggressive with this. Or maybe it was Saturday. I forget. Over the weekend at some point. And, trying to find an outfielder that can run and hit for power. I mean, that's practically a unicorn right now.
We talked about it, I think, last week, but outfield is crazy difficult to find right now.
Yeah. And in fact, tried to bid a little bit on his compadre Harrison Bader, who homered today. That he's the next one of those in line. Finally healthy, finally back after, missing the start of the season. But he's also a power speed combo that can kill your batting average. But when league-wide batting average is .230, you really don't care that much.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, he can hit .125. It's possible. But if he hits .220, .210, who cares?
It's wild that we're there, but it is true. If a guy hits .215, .220, he's not killing you anymore. That used to be death. Like even 5 years ago, you get a guy that's doing .215 at full-time at-bats, that was just an absolute killer.
I remember a few years ago, a live main event, I was like excited that I got Harrison Bader in the 18th, and then I wasn't excited the rest of the year, but great story. He's viable. And I'm telling you, you've gone over this time and again. Outfielders, it's ugly trying to find outfielders. One of our two leagues that we have like 3 injured outfielders and another one that's day to day. And it's really, really difficult to find anybody to slide right in.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of trouble. I had John Birdie in 1 week, and he when Brian Anderson got hurt, and he was playing every day, and I think he had like two hits all week. Did steal a base today, but it's tough to find anybody that's productive. In 12 teamers, Andrew Vaughn has been dropped a bunch. We talked about him a little bit earlier. We were talking about the White Sox starting to play more. Luis Robert is on the IL. We don't know for how long, but he has the hip flexor strain. He's gonna be out for at least a little bit. 59 plate appearances so far for Vaughn. No home runs, one RBI. So he's really not helped you in power. Hitting 275, so helped a little bit there. Hitting the ball hard, though. He's got 50% hard hit rate. He's got 10% barrel rate. He's a 13% fly ballers right now. So that's like obviously killing him any chance to hit home runs. That's going to adjust. He was kind of a mid-30s guy for fly ball rate in the minors in 2019. So you got to figure that's going to move up. He's going to start into fly balls. You know, I think he's more of a your hope of some power, but more of a really good hitter coming out of Cal. In he played 52 games in A and High A in 2018. So he has not had a lot of minor league experience. Losing 2020 definitely hurt him. He would have had a full season of at bats, either Double A or Triple A. How do you feel about Vaughn right now as an ad in a 12 teamer?
I think he's an interesting ad for sure. Didn't start today's game, which was kind of annoying because he was actually, you know, reasonably strong. His last six games, basically the last week, 368, 400, 474. He's starting to get it. How do you bench him here and there? Unfortunately, he's played six out of the last nine games. Six out of the last 10, I think, actually. Because he didn't play on Saturday, and I don't think he started today either. Or maybe he did start today. I might be looking at the wrong line there. But, yeah, it's just you get TLR'd enough, it's really aggravating. Even with the latest injuries, how can you trust it?
Yeah, he did start today. He started in left field today, and he had two hits again. So I just wonder, Robert's out, Eloy's out. So it's hard to really create a path against him anymore right now. You mentioned the defense, and that's true. I mean, but I don't know why Jake Lamb's hitting fifth and Zach Collins hitting sixth and Vaughn's hitting seventh. The whole thing is just weird. But, like you said, Tony's going to be Tony, I suppose.
Yeah, there was a weird Mercedes thing where – he was a late scratch. They put in Lamb. Tony says, it's because he showed up late. But it's no big deal. It wasn't because of that. I just thought it was because of it. But he had to mention that.
If it wasn't because of that, just don't mention it. It's just
He kind of threw him under the bus without, and then tried to make it look like he wasn't. Because he realizes, like, I just kind of, I probably am coming across as the crusty old veteran. Because you are.
I have to admit, as a Zach Plesac owner in the main event, I was kind of happy that after he hit Jose Abreu and came with the base loaded, it was Jake Lamb hitting because it was a three-pitch strikeout. I would have been a little more worried if it was Vaughn hitting at that point.
Right.
So another guy who started really slowly, started horribly, and has gotten really hot lately is Josh Rojas in Arizona. Second short and outfield eligible, which is a really nice combo. We talked about how outfield's weak. You get a guy that can play middle infield and outfield. There's a lot of moving around that you could do with him that's really important. He's now at 235. He has four home runs. Three of those are in the last four games. Hit a ball off the wall today, too. He almost had four in four. 13 runs, 10 RBIs. His walk rate's nice. He's like a 12% walk guy. The K is a little bit high, but at 27%, in this era, I think you can deal with that. Hitting it hard, 44% hard hit rate. But the thing that jumps out to me with Rojas and why I liked him in the preseason, he was really hot in spring training. 2019, if you look at his line in Double A and Triple A, 105 games, 23 home runs, 33 stolen bases, hit .332. I know the ball was super juiced in the minors that year. I do get that. But the 33 stolen bases jumps out, hit .332. That's a crazy good year. And there's a lot of speed power combo here. And if he can just stay a little bit warm, I think he could kind of find his way to have an everyday job there in Arizona.
Yeah. And the thing I like about it too is he's basically like cutting into Nick Ahmed's playing time at shortstop. I mean, it's just every day you see him out there. It's like, they kind of benched him for a while. And I think I even cut bait in a couple of places. Then he had his that Sunday the 18th against the Nats. He had a nice little going away present day, like home run, it was a nice 3 for 4, 5 plate appearances, or scored three runs. You're like, that was nice on the way out. Thanks for that. Oh, and now maybe he's actually going to be the guy that we bought into all along. You know, it's weird. How many times I think Liz and I kept on talking about, like, stop buying into spring training stats. Just stop.
Yeah.
And then you finally, give up on it. Because let's face it. Some guys that stuck. Remember, I'm old enough to remember when Chris Bryant wasn't hitting for any power in spring training. Like, he's just lost that.
Right.
Stop listening to that sort of stuff.
I wish I wish I'd not listened to? It was Richard Rodriguez in Pittsburgh. I was big on him. I really loved the 2020 skills and performance. And then there was this buzz about, like, maybe he's not going to be our closer. Maybe we're going to use him a high leverage. Maybe we're going to do this and this. Like, they've used him as a traditional closer. Like, it's been – he's been really good, too. And that's one of those ones that I just – I let spring training noise get in my head. Let the man – like, one quote from the manager do it. And it's just like, all of a sudden, I really like – I know he's going to get traded at some point, but we probably got 2 more months till that happens. I'd love to have Rodriguez right now over some of the not-so-good closers I end up with. Not looking at you, Alex Colome.
Yeah, I actually cut him in XFL today. I have Rodgers in that league still, but you know, Rodriguez has been amazing.
Yeah, I held Colome for 1 more week in the main event to see what they do in Minnesota, but he's a roster spot I'm going to need to clear pretty quick, I'm afraid, here.
Yeah. Problem for Rodriguez is what we expected all along, though. It's just there's a paucity of saved chances.
There is.
4 so far.
Yeah. There's some teams that have got a bunch. Some teams out of here does think, but I think it's fair with Pittsburgh to say that they're never going to get a ton of them at once. So, but pitched really well. He's been very, very valuable so far. The 4 saves plus the really good ratios and the strikeouts. 2 more offensive players I want to ask you about before we get on here. So Josh Rojas was kind of the prize at the middle infield outfield, but the guy right behind him that I ended up with in a bunch of spots because I got outbid on Rojas is Mauricio Dubon. He's been playing a little bit more lately, and Tommy La Stella got hurt today. He strained his hamstring. Yeah. So you got to figure the playing time is going to be a little bit more there. Dubon has not been good so far. He's hitting 200 with 1 home run, 60 plate appearances. But you look at his past stints in the minor league, he hit 274 both in 2019 and 2020. His hard hit rate's up a little bit to 34%. He hasn't run much in the majors, but he had a big stolen base season in the minors. He had 38 steals in 2017. Decent walk rate, pretty good K rate. Do you like Dubon at all? I ended up with him a couple spots kind of as a backup because I needed a middle infielder. I needed another outfielder, but I'm not really sure what I'm getting here aside from 3 games and Coors coming up to start the week.
Yeah, I kind of do. But ironically, adding Talkman is one of the things that kind of hurts him a little bit because he was going to get some time in the outfield. That seems like that's kind of drying up. They still could play Wilmer Flores at second base, and I think Flores is actually a better hitter than Dubon, so it kind of depends on what they want to emphasize. He's only played 2 games at second base, 16 in the outfield. Granted, Dubon's going to hit righty, Talkman lefty, so maybe they find a way to make it work. But yeah, and the thing is, Lestella sounds like he's going to go on the IL. Implication from the beat writers was it's going to be a while, which means, reflexively, these teams, you don't want to be shorthanded, especially going into Coors. You just don't want to do that.
Yeah, I was in a tough spot where the Trevor Story got hit in the hand this afternoon, and I don't think I had the news, I think I did have the news, and the X-rays were negative. But you never know how that's going to work. And if he comes in tomorrow, it's still sore. Maybe they have an MRI. There's just all kinds of little bones and stuff in the hand. So I kind of thought I needed a backup shortstop. I lost Jazz Chisholm on whatever that was Monday. It seems like an eternity ago that he got hurt, and it was on his 7th stolen base too. Like, he was just absolutely rolling. Yeah. I think it was actually Tuesday night because I was doing the Triple Play podcast when he got hurt. It was a good time there, but I need to replace him. I don't know, Dubon going into Coors, maybe a little more playing time. It's just someone that triple eligibility, maybe he'll help me out and I can save me from the zeros this week.
Yeah, I hear you. I prioritize Flores over Dubon, but I could be wrong about that. I mean, I don't know who's going to get the more playing time between them, but there's going to be playing time that results, and hopefully you get the right one. Hopefully, for your sake, it lands on that, because I didn't really go after either, so I'll root for Dubon.
Yeah, just looking for maybe one or two hot weeks would be nice. A couple steals would be good. You mentioned Mike Talkman, last hitter I wanted to talk about before we jump into those injuries. He's played all 4 games since he got to San Francisco. It may get a bit crowded there with Mike Yastrzemski back later this week. But I don't know. It seems like if Talkman hits, it seems like it's crowded, but it's not really good crowded. I think Alex Dickerson's pretty good. I don't think Austin Slater is all that good. Steven Duggar, I don't think we need to worry about that very much. If Talkman can hit, there's a lot of guys there, but there's nobody that I'm like super worried about him not being able to beat out if he plays well.
He's not going to beat out a healthy Yaz though.
No, I put Yaz separate. I think he's starting no matter what.
Yeah. And Yaz is supposed to come back Friday, I think.
Yeah, Friday.
So bad timing for him. He misses Coors. But aside from that, I think they targeted Talkman. I think this is a guy that will fit in pretty well. You know, that's one thing the Giants, they aggressively platoon. That means for the most part, being on the good side of a platoon is very important. It does mean, though, that Slater and Ruff, Dubon, Flores, those guys are all going to play whenever there's a lefty, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at Talkman, and you could squint and see some really good stuff. He did homer today. Yeah. 2020, he was pretty quiet. Did have six stolen bases, though, kind of quietly had six steals. But 2019 in New York, he had a really good year. Hit 277 and 296 plate appearances, 13 home runs, six stolen bases. And you look at the minors. I mean, 2018 in AAA, granted, it's Colorado. It's their AAA, I think, is in Colorado Springs, which is a huge launching pad. But 20 home runs, 12 stolen bases, hit 323 over 112 games. There's been some good here, and you can see him maybe getting hot. You know, off a free agent wire, I think he's probably a pretty good shot, especially with them going to course.
Yeah, I think so, too. I definitely like picking him up.
And too, you had multiple 20 stolen base years in the minors, so it's there's a – there's some positive there. It's but you're right. It's crowded. So, but anybody else fab wise you want to talk about before we jump into the plethora of injuries?
No, I think we pretty thoroughly covered the top guys this week.
We mentioned Luis Robert a couple times. He hurt his leg. He was beating out an infield single, and it was weird. He like took a step before the base, then stepped on the base weird, and then you could tell he couldn't even put any weight on his right leg when it happened. I was watching it. They say he has a right hip flexor strain, which honestly is probably really good news compared to what I thought it was going to be when I saw him get hurt. But he is headed to the IL. We don't really have a timetable on him yet. And that's pretty bad, rough for someone you took in the third round.
Yeah, and you're just seeing him get helped off without putting any weight on it. And yeah. That's the part that kind of freaked me out. But and the fact that they immediately said he's going on the IL, that's never good.
Yeah, and a hip with a hitter like that, I mean, you know, a guy with a lot of pop and the guy that you want stolen bases from, definitely not a good sign there. Jesus Luzardo, I don't even know if I can talk about this one, went on the 10-day IL, fractured left pinky. He hurt it hitting a table while he was playing a video game before his start on Saturday. That's actually a true story. I didn't just make that up to be funny.
Bumping a table. Let's.
Yeah, that. I saw hitting a table, and then I saw bumping the side of a table. I'm like, there's no way he bumped a table and broke
right,
his pinky.
Right.
He clearly was like being demonstrative. Like, it's just. And then they checked him out, and the A's crack medical staff were like, "Yeah, you're cool. Go pitch today." And then he didn't pitch well, and now he had the X-ray or whatever, and he's got a fractured left pinky. I haven't seen a timetable, but I imagine for a guy in his pitching hand, that's got to be a little bit of time, right?
Yeah, he had some sort of contraption on his hand today, they showed, and it doesn't look great.
It's so maddening. He hasn't pitched great. Like, there have been some signs of him pitching well, but just giving up too many home runs. I don't know. It feels like the A's have weird injuries like this. It was Drew Pomeranz, I think, punched a chair a couple years ago after an outing and was out for a while. It's just...
Don't punch inanimate objects. You lose every single time.
Especially when you make your money with that inanimate object. When you make your money with that hand that you, it's just it's
right.
Maddening. Right. Have you ever punched? Have you ever really punched anything in anger, Jeff?
Scott, I'm a calm man. I'm a peaceful man. No,
I punched a hole in our closet in college during a Madden football game, but like a not really real closet, and no one pays millions of dollars to use my right hand, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah. Hey, Cole Irvin stays in the rotation because of this. And in fact, he gets a two-step.
Yeah.
I saw him available in some leagues. What are your thoughts on him?
It's tough. Like, I watch him, and he's just like a pretty good pitcher, but he's not – there's no dominating there. Like, but the changeup's really good. He doesn't walk guys. I liked what I've seen. I'm just a little wary that I think it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors so far. I don't think he's – he doesn't have that dominating stuff. The interesting thing now is that if someone else gets hurt or if Mike Fiers is not good, Dalton Jeffries is now like next guy up, which I think is a little more interesting than Irvin.
Those big Dalton Jeffrey bids are going to pay off. Finally.
Yeah. Those people that bid big and have dropped him since. But yeah, I think Irvin will be solid, not kill you, but not really be great either. If that's it's kind of a cop out, but I think he's kind of just a middling guy right there that, you know, is good in baseball terms and really important for the A's. But fantasy wise, I'm a little hesitant on him.
Yeah, but by the way, before anyone says that comment aged poorly, I did bid on Dalton Jeffries in mixed labor and got him and dropped him. So I'm self-included as far as that goes. I'm not trying to just dance on your fantasy grave.
We talked about Dustin May a little bit earlier. We were talking about Gonsolin having an MRI Monday. I'm not optimistic in any way. This is going to be anything but a serious long-term injury.
You say I heard something pop. I'm like, done.
Shooting sensation up your arm and your elbow. It's just, and he was, you felt like you can look at his stats. Like the breakout was this is, it was there. Like he was looking, he was striking out more guys, finding that the big like final step to him being a really good pitcher, both major league wise and fantasy wise, was boosting the strikeouts. And he had done that this year. He was at a 37.6% K rate, like almost doubling his K rate last year. You could tell he was figuring out how to mix his pitches. It was all coming along. I mean, I had him in the main event. It was really fun. I was looking forward to it. And it just he threw that pitch. It was kind of sickening for Dodgers fans, for baseball fans. He's just a fun guy to watch too.
Unfortunately, it's a bullet point for two maxims. One, that elite velocity eventually turns into strikeouts.
Yep.
But two, elite velocity often turns into arm trouble too.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that a lot of times.
It's a bummer.
I don't want to like avoid these guys because the payoff is so high when they stay healthy and they pitch. Yeah. Pitch, you know, they, you know, you see like what's happening with DeGrom now. He's throwing 100 for crying out loud. And you just see that. But at the same time, you're kind of like always paranoid.
Yep.
About when's the hammer going to drop on them? Can you make it through the season, a good chunk of the season?
You could just draft only Kyle Hendricks. You'd be fine, right?
Okay, stop. That's me. You're just taunting me now. I actually benched Hendricks in one of my three leagues where I had him.
You set it up too well for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
You benched Hendricks for last week or this week coming up next week?
This last week. I'm going to put him back in. He's got a two-step this week. But I benched him for the Braves start.
Wow.
Now, only in one of the three 12
teamer, 12-teamer, I assume?
Yeah, OC. Okay.
So you have better options at least, but it's almost impossible to sit him in a main event with the, you know, your 10th pitcher is just going to be so not very good. But I respect that. I'm one who tends to be stubborn and just throw those guys in there and not think about it too much, and it doesn't always work. That was a good sit. He was not good this week, right?
God, he was horrible.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah. I remember him giving up a bunch of home runs early, right?
Yeah, and I'm worried. Finally the projection systems have caught up. You know, he's lived down to the expectations of the projection systems.
Yeah.
Never once had like an ERA above four. Everyone had him with an ERA above four this year, and I was kind of railing on that, and now I'm just going to have to eat my words, I'm afraid.
Do you have optimism he's going to turn it around and kind of find his form? None, really?
No, I mean, I don't. I mean, it's a long enough season that the only thing I have – there's nothing that I see that gives me that optimism, only experience of time and et cetera, but nothing.
Were you able to watch Luis Castillo start it all this week?
No, I actually was out and about. I listened to a lot of it on the radio, and those first two innings he was cruising, and then he started giving up rockets again.
I watched it again. I'm like, I just don't, it's hard for me to find that elite guy in there somewhere. I know he's in there somewhere, but I don't know. I wasn't super positive about that one either. Like you said, the first couple innings, I was kind of excited, like, oh, here we go. And then it just kind of reverted back to what we've seen so far.
98 for that first two, those first two innings.
Yeah. I thought we might have had something, and then it kind of fell apart again.
Yeah. In fact, when you texted me about all the injuries that you're having, and I thought it was a Castillo note at first, like, oh, did Castillo get hurt or something?
No,
and then I realized it was May. And
I would I wouldn't do that to you. I would lead with that. It was one of our Reds pitchers.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Thanks.
Trevor Story left Sunday. He got hit by a pitch on his finger. Said it looked like he was in a lot of pain. They did X-rays after the game. They were negative. The Rockies quote think he'll be okay. Obviously I want to see him in the lineup. I imagine maybe we'll miss a day or two, but it sounds like it's not going to be long term. And I'm crossing my fingers that continues to be the case.
Yeah. And in fact, there was a check swing. At first they thought it was a foul ball and said it was actually hit his finger. And not great. Not great. I mean, I think he got you a stolen base at least before leaving the game.
And a home run.
Well, I mean, the stolen base happened after the hit by
pitch. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
I think it was part of a double steal. So at least he, you know, did something with a flourish there. But yeah, again, a week at home at Coors coming up. Last thing you need is for him to miss games. What if they say he's day to day, but he's not in the lineup for the first game? What do you do?
I want to see the quotes from the manager before the game, but I will lead towards using him if they don't say, you know, he's gonna be a few days. If they say like he's day to day, I'm probably just gonna throw him in there.
Yeah, me too.
They're actually home for only half the week. They're on the road.
Did I get that wrong? I've said it like three times on this podcast.
They're at St. Louis the second half.
I was looking at the wrong row. That's why. Yeah. I was looking at they are home for three of the next four series. Okay, there you go.
That's a good stretch. I like that. Ian Happ finally had a good game today. We mentioned the home run off TJ Antone. He's had three hits. Then he got a collision in the outfield. He was carted off. It looked like he got hit in the head. He was bleeding from his nose. And it was weird. He stood up and then he had to sit back down. It was like an NFL player. It was really weird. Yeah, you don't see that very often in baseball. They'd bring the cart out. He said he was feeling fine after the game. I'm just concerned that concussion protocol might come into play here.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of too. I mean, you just saw the way he reacted. I mean, he crumpled down. He was lying down, like, you know, oh, it was really a tough thing to see. And then after that, you know, but then you saw the replays. It almost looked like he got a knee in the stomach.
Yeah,
too,
I didn't even really see him get hit in the face, but apparently he did because I mean, his nose is bleeding, so he's definitely gonna hit at some point. But I thought he got maybe the wind knocked out of him at first, but then he was down for so long they brought the card out, and then he, like you said, he fell back down, but. That's one to definitely check. The Cubs do play tomorrow. They play the Dodgers. So it's one of those things we'll see in his lineup. But, you know, he's been so bad, and maybe he's warming up a little bit. Had a stolen base this week, hit three and homer today, and then he gets run into the outfield. It was not what you wanted for Ian Happ today.
No. I worry about a guy like, you know, flying after a thing like that. But and it's not the first time someone's had gets checked for a concussion, then flies right away afterward. But, you know, it's Hendricks, Alzolay, and Arrieta for the game series against the Dodgers. And, that Cubs bullpen just got pushed around on Sunday. They might leave Hendricks out to dry again. Maybe I will bench Hendricks again. But he gets a home start against the Pirates later in the week. Makes it tough.
Yeah, you can't sit that, I don't think. Bueller, Kershaw, and Bauer for the Dodgers going into Wrigley. That'll be fun for the Cubs offense right there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
George Springer is an interesting case right now. He seems like he tweaked his quad yesterday, and then he hit two home runs right after that. And today he ran out of first base, and he just looked like he can't run. It was like he just looked old and like he can't run. Our friend Rob Silver is a big Blue Jays fan, so he looked like an old man running down the baseline. He just looked really bad. He was watching the game. Then he was listed for a pinch runner in the sixth inning on Sunday. He was kind of walking around the dugout afterwards. He looked okay, but he doesn't seem healthy to me, Jeff. It's crazy. They've waited so long. They've been so like, we want to be 100%. It seems like the quad's still bugging him.
Yeah, they said something about him being fatigued.
Yeah, and he had a stolen base this weekend too, which is weird if your quads are feeling good. But it's the whole thing's a little bit strange.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, don't expect any stolen bases, but he did. Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange. Makes me think that he aggravated it.
Yeah, I was worried about that too. And he plays one weekend, hits two home runs on stolen base. You can kind of see what you can get in this offense if Springer plays. But it's just, I guess you got to check that lineup tomorrow too. They play at the A's tomorrow, so they're flying and they're playing in Oakland. So it'll be a late game, but hopefully we get the lineup in before you need to make that decision.
Right.
It was a rough week for catchers, Jeff. A lot of catchers went in the DL. We had Yadier Molina earlier in the week. Travis d'Arnaud is having surgery for a torn ligament in his thumb. He's going to 60-day IL. I mean, I think he's an automatic drop everywhere.
I dropped him in one of my onlines painfully too, because there's nothing there to replace him with too. That's the tough part. Don't forget Alejandro Kirk too. Also went on the IL this week. And he was Yadi. Did you mention Yadi too?
Yeah. Yeah. There was someone. I mean, and the injury is Gary Sanchez not playing as much too. So there's another spot. He may replace that in the 12 teamer. It was a rough week for catchers overall.
Do you see any big bids for Higashioka?
There was like a 50 something in one of my main events. Maybe it was online. I think it was picked up last week in my main event. But I saw a 50, kind of mid double digits in there. Did you see anything big yourself?
No, I saw people online talking about it, but let's see, 37 in one of them.
Okay.
With the second place bid of 16. And the other one, what did he go for? He went last week and he went for 7 unopposed. So
it's a pretty good bid.
That's a gift of foresight right there.
It is. He went for, looks like he went for 9 in one of mine and then somewhere in the mid 40s or 50s in the other one. Yeah. So it was kind of, I don't know. What does Gary Sanchez's career path look like right now? Like what's the next step for Gary Sanchez?
You know, I mean, they don't really have the DH as a possibility. That's the problem for him.
And the problem is he can't hit. He's not hitting either. It's not like he's just playing bad defense. He does that too, but
right.
It's been a long time since Gary Sanchez really hit.
I mean, I don't think Higashioka is really that good of a hitter either though. And so I don't think so either. I think he gets a chance at redemption here at some point in time.
But if they're both not going to hit, you're going to play the guy who plays really good defense and the guy the pitchers like throwing to. I mean, it's been 2017, the really good Sanchez year when he hit 278. 2019 was pretty good. He hit 232, but he had 34 home runs. But I mean, 2020 hit .147. 2018 he hit .186. I mean, I know averages are down across the league, but we mentioned. And those are averages that are killing real baseball teams. Like you can't send a guy out there's going to hit .147. Like it's rough. I mean, he's not striking out this year, but he's still not getting hits. He's not hitting the ball hard this year either. Like it was always like a lot of strikeouts, but a lot of hard hits. And this year it's less strikeouts, but no hard hits. I mean, that's not a good combo either.
No, it isn't. I mean, the only thing that it's like, he somehow gets a shorter leash than some of his other slumping teammates. And that's kind of a little, but it's because of the defense. I get why, but
Did you see the Stanton StatCast stat today, by the way?
No, what was it?
Of balls hit over 115 miles an hour so far this season, Stanton has 16 himself.
Oh.
The next highest is 5, and that's if you take an entire team put together, the next highest is 5.
That seems like he's doing well.
I forget. It was the Angels because they have Trout. So Angels had 5 was the next highest team. All of the Yankees have 3. It was the most. No other team has 5, and Stanton has 16. I mean, that's an almost impossible stat. It's crazy.
It is. You would think that he'd be leading the free world in every stat because of that.
Yeah.
But.
he had a single up the middle today that was like 118. It was just absolutely scalded. That like the shortstop couldn't even make a move. It was wild. But so we mentioned Darno. We mentioned Alejandro Kirk. Wilson Contreras, another catcher. He left Friday with a tight right thigh. Sat Saturday and Sunday. Did enter the game late today for defense. So there's a good sign that they don't think he's going to go on the IL. So they obviously threw him in there for defense. Yeah, although they had no players left, right?
Yeah, they had to bring him in after the Hap injury. They moved Walters to second. They moved someone else out to center field to make all of it work.
Why is Walters trying to steal home?
You know, if he gets his foot down on that slide, he's safe.
That was a weird slide. He like stopped and just kind of fell underneath the catcher. It was like it was a weird play.
And it would have worked if it weren't for that meddling replay either. But they originally called safe. And he did beat the tag, except his foot was like hovering over the plate. And the one time that the replay actually got something right.
It's not a very good tag by your catcher, by the way. I think he was kind of surprised. I think he thought Walters was going to kind of just run into him and stop. And all of a sudden he stopped and then just like fell down.
Yeah, right. He thought he was going to just give himself up.
Yeah, it's a strange play.
Barnhart's usually pretty on top of things too, which is the funny thing.
Well, he homered later, so it was all right. Or he homered earlier. He made up for it. The Milwaukee outfield is right now sounds like it might be getting a little bit healthy. Both Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain are going to be activated during the upcoming series in Philadelphia. They annoyingly haven't given us a day, or they just kind of left it very vague. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it, when I see Yelich's name in the lineup. But what do you do with Yelich and Cain this week with that news? They have 4 games at Philly. You just start them and hope. If you get 2.
Yelich, you start.
If you get 2, that works. They're all righties. You figure if you get 2, that works really well.
I mean, I start Yelich. Cain depends on how desperate you are. Cain, I'd wait for sure. Yelich, I'm for sure starting.
Okay, I think I agree there. I think I'm going to start Yelich. I'd like him to play Monday, but as long as they keep with he's going to play in Philly. I hope maybe Wednesday is the worst case. That I think you just got to do it. He's just so valuable a player if he's in there and healthy. But it's be interesting to watch him. I'm not convinced that he's ready to go and going to not get hurt again. But certainly need him to. He's one of those guys that every at bat going to watch for a little bit and see how he swings freely, how the back looks, if he's running at all. It'll be an interesting first couple weeks for Yelich off the IL.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's your first round draft pick. I think
it's a good point.
With your reservations, including your reservations, you just have to go with it here.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, and obviously, if he's in the lineup tomorrow, then you're obviously starting him.
Of course.
Chase Anderson on Wednesday, I mean, give me that.
Yeah.
I'm granted, you got Nola and Wheeler in that 4-game series too, which isn't great, but you just have to go for that chance. I mean, especially because replacement value in wide receiver is so low right now. I mean, outfield.
I was like, wide receiver.
I don't know why I said that. I'm not even like looking at anything, and I just said wide receiver. That's so weird.
A little too much NFL draft for you, apparently.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a terrible TV event. Still, I'll go to my grave with that statement.
You're not the only one. List did a little video thing on that.
I did see that. I like watching the first 8 picks. Then I'm like, I'll just find it. I can maybe background noise, but like, it takes so long. It's painful to watch.
I just watched the first round, especially because there's 2 Northwestern guys this year. Plus, the Bengals had
pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see that. And then also the Bengals had a real decision to make, but it was narrowed down to 3 players and one of those was taken before them. So it was pretty cool that I knew they were going to get a pretty awesome player.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. And obviously my Niners were up there, so I was watching this year. But we talked about catchers earlier. We missed Omar Narvaez is out for a couple weeks also, a strained left hamstring. So there's like 4 or 5 teams in every league that look at catchers this week. That's a tough place to be in. Usually if you lose a catcher, you want it to be like nobody else is bidding, so you can go low. If you're bidding catchers this week, you had to go with like multiple conditionals because there were so many teams looking for catchers.
Yeah, I mean, the Brewers lost 2 catchers. They let another one go in Nottingham and then they found a way to trade back for him.
And he homered twice today.
Yeah, they called trade backs and it worked out. I mean, Nottingham was the guy that came over in the Chris Davis deal to the A's.
Yep.
You know, at one point in time, you know, it was just, you know, that was considered a colossally bad trade. You know, they kind of got the, they got, maybe he's like a poor man's Encarnacion where they lose him and claim him back. And then he's good after that. I don't know, but no, I'm just being a little silly. It's just a lot of teams are hurting for catcher right now. I'll say that.
No doubt there. Couple other quick notes before we get to a few quick players here. Brian Anderson with the Marlins scheduled return on Tuesday. We mentioned Tommy La Stella, left over the hamstring. So he sounded like he's going to go on the IL. And Ryan Weathers, we talked about last week in Fab, came out, pitched an inning, and his arm wasn't feeling good. Said he's feeling better, and he may make his next start. I don't think you can throw him this week, but the Padres are weird. Between Weathers and Nelson Lamet, we have no idea who's pitching day-to-day with that team at the moment because we don't know if they're hurt or not.
Yeah, they're kind of cagey about that. And in fact, they didn't even name their starter today until this morning, and ended up being like, Musgrove, and he wasn't very good.
Musgrove must have known, right? Like, there's no way they're telling him in the morning, right? You hope?
I mean, you would think that, but yeah. I think they had both Lamet and Weathers thrown on the side on Saturday. So that might have been, some of it there. But that's probably, he probably knew last night.
You would hope so, because you get a routine and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, with your main guys like that, I think it just seems like weird to be playing those weird games. Maybe they just don't know when Lamet feels good and can go, but tentatively scheduled to go Monday. But I don't know if we're going to, maybe it'll just be a surprise whoever takes the mound against the Pirates.
Yeah, this is where I want to be critical of the Padres medical staff, but I don't really know. But it seems like guy that's had a PRP injection to avoid Tommy John, he's already kind of a fade to go in there, and then he gets a forearm problem after two innings in his first return.
Yeah,
yikes! Run for the hills. How can you even think about coming back after the minimum 10 days? Of course, he hasn't done that yet, so we'll see. But that doesn't look great at all.
So I want to talk about a few players before we get out of here. But first, a note from our sponsor, Moon Baseball Road Trips, the complete guide to all the ballparks with beer, bites, and sights nearby. Arriving just in time for the 2021 season, this brand new from Moon Travel Guides book is the ultimate guide to baseball. The book is as much a travel guide as a dive into classic American road trip, vibrant fan communities, baseball history, and of course, the 30 incredible MLB cities. 7 road trip routes with detailed itineraries. It's organized by region, so you can drive a loop through the Midwest, which I've actually done, cruise along the West Coast, or hit the ballparks from Boston to D.C. I've done that also. Insider advice for visiting each ballpark, not just how to catch a game, but tips on snagging tickets, securing the best seats, and the insider scoop on the best bars and restaurants nearby. Insider scoop came from author and lifelong baseball fan Timothy Malcolm. He served as a senior writer and editor at Phillies Nation, written stories for the Hardball Times, and has been featured on Mets Blog and Yahoo Big League Stew. He's also hosted 2 baseball podcasts, including the Phillies Nation podcast. To write this book, Tim hit the road and explored everything from Boston to Seattle to Phoenix and the Bay Area, bringing the experience of the game to readers across the world. For the ultimate baseball experience of summer, order your copy of Moon Baseball Road Trips, available at online retailers, your local bookstore, or www.moon.com. Jeff, the Mets and Phillies played tonight. And real quick, we mentioned Bryce Harper took a swing and missed. And like he kind of grabbed his wrist and he was shaking his wrist out a little bit. And then he bunted twice in that bat. So obviously he didn't want to swing the bat.
Including strike three. Yeah. Foul
including
ball.
Strike three, yeah. It was almost a base hit in the last one. It was a good bunt. But then he came up late in the game. Reese Hoskins hit the ball that they ruled a home run and they changed it to a double off the top of the fence. Harper came in, struck out against Yuris Familia. Didn't look healthy to me. Looked like he was very hesitant in that at bat. He took a couple check swings. I'm not convinced that wrist is totally good. I'm a little bit worried about that one.
Yeah, I agree. Fernando Tatis hurt himself on a shoulder at the swing and miss. Yep. You see that happen sometimes. The lack of resistance. It looked really bad. In the top of the ninth inning, he fielded a base hit and like bounced a throw into second base. Also, maybe he does that normally. I don't know. But it also looked like he was favoring it there and. I don't know. I don't know how he stays in the game, to be honest, when you see him bunting like that.
I don't know how the manager lets him stay in the game. Like
that's what I mean.
That's Bryce Harper. Like if there's anything tweaked, who cares about that at bat in that game? Like get out and check him out and see what's going on. I mean, that's your franchise right there.
Yeah. One game in April or May. Yeah. I almost said April. One game on May 2nd and versus a long stretch. You make sure he's okay. And and then he gets booed at the end of that. And you're like, oh, of course he's not 100%, but he's a gamer and all that. Sometimes just take the guy out.
And the weird thing late in that game is Edwin Diaz gives up the 3-run home run at the time to Reese Hoskins. They change to a double. But they were, as they were showing the replay and everything with Hoskins, you didn't notice that, you could barely see it, but the trainer came out and talked to Diaz.
Yeah.
And then Diaz left the game and he went straight down to the tunnel. And they came out and Familia had a, because nobody was pitching, nobody was warming up because Diaz had a 4-1 lead. He didn't figure out another pitcher. Familia came in and, you know, had a full chance to warm up. So I don't know if they, if Diaz is hurt, nobody said anything, or if Diaz was, they were faking injury because Familia needed time to warm up. Like, I have no idea, but I'm a little bit worried about what's going on with Diaz too.
No, so we have an update.
Good.
The back tightness was the issue.
So it was, do you think, I mean, I guess he could be making that up too to get to full time, but not what you want though. I mean, that's, you wonder, because I mean, the trainer definitely came out there and talked to him.
Yeah, and apparently, you know, there was a mound visit earlier in the inning when he said he was dealing with a tight back with no outs in the bottom of the ninth. He tried to pitch through it. So that whole inning was all.
Why would you have Edwin Diaz in a 4-1 lead pitch through back tightness? Why wouldn't you just yank him there?
Now, I don't know, like, if it was three batters in or if it was one batter in.
Right.
Yeah. That was just the whole game was weird.
It was a weird game.
That play where Hoskins couldn't make the play on the line drive. And then that, you know, VR goes all the way around the third. And so in the disconsolate, so he tosses the ball to the second baseman and they run, you know, Maton misses a ball earlier on a pop-up. McCutchen misplayed a ball in the outfield, which is not a recording, by the way. It's like the third time I've seen that in the last 3 weeks, I think. He homered today, but McCutchen's having a horrible year.
He is. He's having a rough year.
Yeah, the center fielders have been, like, really bad for the Phillies. They're a very oddly constructed team. Just nothing out of center and left field this year. It's really kind of rough to see. You know, Segura being out hurts them a lot. I don't know. But, and then, of course, the bullpen melted down today, too.
When the Phillies bullpen melts down, it's an epic. They really, really melt down. They do not mess around with their meltdowns.
Yeah. Now, I saw another note that, like, Neris wasn't available, nor was who else was down today. They had, like, three pitchers that were unavailable. I think Brogdon was not available.
Yeah.
And then one other pitcher too,
but and Alvarado was all over the place, and they would, he couldn't throw a strike, and he was mad at himself and yelling, and he got an argument with Dominic Smith the other night. Like, it's been a weird grumpy weekend for a lot of players.
Yeah, he's got a 3-game suspension that he's appealing. He's playing through the through the appeal right now, and you got to think that some of this was like he was overamped.
For sure. He looked over him. He had a 3-1 pitch and he threw spiked in the dirt and he like kind of cursed at himself. You could just tell he was overamped. But in that game, Francisco Lindor, he now has 98 plate appearances in his first year here with the Mets, hitting 171, Jeff, with one home run and zero stolen bases. You and I talked last week about Luis Castillo being the worst second round pick. That's definitely not the case. Lindor has definitely been probably worse. And we mentioned Mondesi, who hasn't played yet, but Lindor's weird. Like, you look at his stats, and you know, nothing jumps out to you. He's really bad, though. Like, the strikeout rate's down. The walk rate's good. He's got as many strikeouts as walks. Hitting it hard, 42%. BABIP's crazy low at 197. Do you just think this is a really kind of struggling / unlucky month for Lindor so far?
I lean towards that. I thought he was priced too high. I didn't draft him anywhere this year. I had him as a keeper in one league where I had him at a pretty good price. But aside from that, I thought he might be slightly overpriced just because, you know, average was down last year. Didn't stop. He started to run a little less frequently. I don't know. I would think he's probably a good buy target. I will say this. There's something to be said about a guy that's just gotten paid. That A, you can coast, or B, you can press trying to prove that you're worth it. Both of these things are possible. I don't think, but do I know that either of those things are in play? No, not really. I don't know that for a fact. Could be attribution error.
As I look deeper, I think it's kind of attributed to just a slow start and kind of a little bit unlucky also. But I think the pressing is real. I mean, you get a lot of money. You're in New York. Mm-hmm. You want to hit three home runs on opening day and kind of prove your worth right away. And the Mets have had a weird, like, missing a bunch of games and rainouts. They've had a weird schedule of stuff. And they had that, you know, that first series that there was the COVID stuff. They've had kind of a weird start. I think he'll settle in, but, you know, we're a month in the season. He has one home run, no stolen bases. It's not pleasing anybody as a fantasy manager.
No, not at all. I remember, like, there was a year Derek Jeter was hitting 200 going into June, and, you know, he's still, like, almost nearly won the batting title that year. Yeah. Things turn around.
Yeah, a couple. You have like a 9-for-12 series, and all of a sudden those numbers look a lot different. It's amazing how fast that can go up. But
yeah, amazing to remember that last year was just 60 games, and so we're a lot of people, you get stuck in that mentality.
A guy who is definitely pleasing fantasy owners right now is Ian Kennedy. This is pretty wild. He's got 12 innings pitched so far, 16 strikeouts, zero walks. That's a pretty good ratio right there. 2.25 ERA, seven saves, 38% K rate, Jeff. Ian Kennedy is dealing right now, and I don't know what to think about that.
He was dealing 2 years ago, too.
He was.
What did that happen last year? That's what
back,
I want to know.
He's back throwing hard. He's throwing 94, over 94 again. He was down in the 93s last year, but swing strike rate has not been over 10% since 2015. It's now at 15.5% right now. Like, I get his 12 innings, but he's smoking people right now.
He is the closer most likely to be dealt by the trade deadline.
Yeah,
because I'd say he's smoking people right now.
Him and Richard Rodriguez, I think the two that kind of fall into that, definitely getting dealt. Hard hit rate, Jeff, not so good. Is 50% before today, so there's some damage coming at some point.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's, I think sometimes that's skewed. If you're not giving up much contact to begin with,
that's true. If you're striking everybody out,
and you're throwing harder, you're probably generating more contact, more velocity on that contact. I don't know, it'd be malpractice if he's not dealt by the trade deadline, though. I mean, just that it doesn't mean you get rid of Kennedy right now. You can still get two more months of saves, but just you get Shane Green treatment from a couple of years
you
ago.
Get three more, you can get three more months of saves. I mean, it's a long time for the trade deadline.
Right.
Jolly Rodriguez, if you do want to play the long game when Kennedy does get traded, is a guy that I really like going forward.
I agree. I liked him, but then he was hurt to start the season, so I couldn't afford to hold on to him in some places. But, yeah, I agree. He's the speculative play.
He's only thrown 5 1/3, but seven strikeouts, one walk. The other guy that I like, if you're looking for spec, it would take an injury to get there, but I like Ryan Stanek, the setup guy for the Astros behind Presley, has been really, really good too.
Yeah, he has. He used to be like the elite opener.
Yeah, for the Rays. He was really good doing that, but he's been really good. He's a guy that I think even a deeper league you could probably throw in there if you needed to like save a week or, you know, didn't have a starter you liked. I think he's someone that you can kind of slide in and he'll get you some good ratios and a couple strikeouts.
Yep, agreed.
A couple of the guys I want to ask you about. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is a 5 home runs, 5 stolen bases, which I don't think we thought would happen on the home runs maybe all year. He had 4 home runs the last 2 seasons combined and 450 plate appearances. Did have 11 steals, so we kind of thought we'd get some stolen bases. Catcher eligible in some leagues. I know he's catchable in Yahoo and the NFBC, shortstop and third base. I don't think we think the home runs are real at all. I looked at his stats. He's got a 21% fly ball rate. Hard hit rate is up a little bit, but I don't think we're going to have a lot of home runs. But he's leading off, scoring some runs, stealing bases. He's proving his worth so far.
What a weird career path. I mean,
strange, yes.
Came in as a utility guy. Oh, let's move him to catcher. And then, oh, let's move him back off catcher now, and he's our starting shortstop. I think if you can trade him now, you should. Yeah, coming into today, 4 walks, 24 strikeouts. Like you alluded, the power doesn't seem totally legit. Talk up the position eligibility. Talk about those stolen bases. Now, I just think it's probably a guy that's going to give you diminishing returns in the long run. So I'd probably try to trade him if I could right now.
Pretty amazing for all that moving around. Dude won a gold glove last year at third base.
That's interesting.
Good. It was because Matt
talked that up in your trade talks there. Say, hey, he's going to stay at shortstop. He can catch. He's a good fielder.
It was because Matt Chapman got hurt. Otherwise, he wouldn't have won the gold glove. But still, that's pretty good for a guy who moves around and can stick like that. A couple of guys in Cincinnati today, Nick Castellanos and Chris Bryant, both homered twice. Mm. Castellanos had 5 hits. These dudes are both matching. Both have 9 home runs. They both have 20. Castellanos has 22 runs, 20 RBIs. Bryant's got 20 runs, 22 RBIs. What do you feel about Bryant right now? I mean, it's weirdly like he was not a hard hit guy. Didn't make a lot of hard contact the last 3 years. That is way up this year. He looks fully healthy. Are you buying into this breakout, or do you think this is just a hot month for Bryant? We're going to see maybe him go back to his last 3 years.
No, I'm buying into it. I tried to get him in some places. I think if we were drafting today, he goes like in the 4th round instead of the 7th or 8th. Maybe not all the way to the 3rd where he was going before his slumps and all that, but he's healthy right now. He's super motivated, obviously. It's a contract year. I just think he was playing through a lot of stuff in the last couple of years. They're no longer batting. You know, he doesn't always bat second or lead off. He does sometimes. But he's also – the thing that was pointed out in today's broadcast is he's jumping on fastballs early in the count now. a little bit. But in previous years, I think he had more of an emphasis of working the count and, you know, becoming a different hitter at two strikes and falling behind maybe 1-2-0-2 a little bit more. That's hard to do. So he, you know, Tyler Malley threw a nothing fastball at the first pitch and he took him out. You know, in fact, I think he was 3-for-3 before the Reds finally got him out once. Plus that he and Rizzo both just feast at in Great American Ballpark too.
I noticed that with Castellanos too. He's swinging at 58% of pitches, which is most since his rookie year. He seems like he's trying to get a good pitch early in the count. We used to kind of wait. He's still swinging and missing a lot, but he's not striking out because he's not getting deep into counts. I mean, like his swing and miss, his swing and strike rate is 17%, which is really high, but his strikeout rate's down almost 10% so far this year. He's getting pitches early in counts, swinging early and kind of not getting deep where the strikeout becomes a thing for him.
Maybe pitchers are throwing too many strikes to him.
I would definitely agree with that. I would not start him off strike one, strike two. That's for sure. But he's mashing. He's a guy that both of us really, really liked last year and this year. He started out really hot last year, but then cooled off. But I think we're going to see a big Castellanos here. I love Castellanos, as you know very well.
Here's the difference between this year and the other difference between this year and last year is Jesse Winker's batting leadoff most of the time. Yep. Jesse Winker's having a great year.
He's had an awesome year. Yeah.
Joey Votto is batting behind him. Quietly, Joey Votto is starting to come around. You know, he had a terrible start to the season, but lately he started to hit a lot better. He's slugging .449 now. He's at, you know, it's not great.
It's wild how much he's changed his approach. He's like kind of he's like a get the ball, don't work the count, hit the ball hard early in the count. If I swing and miss, it's okay. He's like completely changed his game. It's pretty wild to look at.
Because he's so analytical. Over the last 14 days, he's got an .833 OPS. Over the last 21 days, .950. Now, he was running into a lot of tough luck outs early on in the season. And he's kind of changed that a little bit there, too. Some of the, you know, the luck has corrected itself a little bit, too. So all of a sudden, they have to throw strikes to Castellanos every once in a while. It's not just like, okay, this is a dead lineup. And, you know, you grant, and the thing is, yeah, if you can wait to get to Suarez, great. Although Suarez just murdered, death killed a ball today that still hasn't landed, but so he's getting closer to being himself. This Reds lineup has had its moments. It you know, at home at least they have. On the road, they're still kind of sitting ducks.
Last guy I want to ask you about before we get out of here: what does one do in either a 12 or 15 team league right now with Andrés Giménez?
What do you do with a scurvy pirate? You make him walk the plank. Sorry. Have you seen Backyardigans? Probably. I thought maybe Julia might have seen that show, but
No, we're no Backyardigans. We're a lot of Peppa Pig, a lot of Curious George. We haven't done any Backyardigans though. I might have to introduce that.
Yeah, you should. Quality show. Love all it. Right. But I don't know if it's running live anywhere. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not, but get that.
I'm sure we can find it on YouTube somewhere.
Find a way to stream it. But anyway, Andrés Giménez.
But I mean, so he's got two home runs. He has three stolen bases. Obviously, if you bought him in your auction, you drafted him in the league, you're doing it for the stolen bases. The problem is he's hitting ninth, which makes it really tough. Yeah. He's not getting on base. His OBP is .227. Hardest steal bases if you're not on base. He's hitting .177. I mean, he's eligible at three positions. Stolen bases are so hard to find. I find him really hard to cut. I have him in a 12 team and I'm finding him hard to play and hard to cut, which is a really bad spot to be in.
Yeah, that's a bad combo. And he sits every once in a while and only had 63 plate appearances coming in today. I know he played today, so it changes a little bit, but fact is, I mean, if you're in a 10 or 12 team mixer, that's a cut almost. And a 15 teamer, that's where you're in that sweet spot of hell.
I almost cut him today in a 12, and I was going to go one more week just because of the stolen base upside. I mean, he had 28 stolen bases in 2019 in AA, but he's just not hitting. I just wonder how long the Indians' leash is going to be with him. They moved it down to ninth. He's done it down there. They said this in spring training is going to be our starting shortstop. And, you know, now Ahmed Rosario's there. They could move guys around. They don't really have a lot of outfield options, but I wonder how long they could play this guy. When he does have options, they could send him down when the minor league start. I don't know. How long can you have a guy hitting under 200 and keep playing him when you may have some other options?
Yeah. And he's been bad. He was batting ninth in spring training. So this is not a surprise. The problem is, Rosario is not really that much better.
No, he's not. He hasn't been very good either. They don't have a ton of options, which helps. I just wonder if at some point they've got to not put him in there so much. I mean, it was a guy that I didn't like the draft price on. I ended up in one league just, I had a spot where I had no stolen bases. He just kind of fit, and I ended up taking him. But it's hard to play him right now. I mean, you mentioned Rosario. He's not doing – what's he at? He's at 179. He's at 211. He had three hits today, so he got over 200 today, but still not doing much. And you look at that outfield, and it's, you know, none of that's really exciting. Josh Naylor is kind of okay, and you know, Luplow had a really quiet week. He's finally kind of cooled down now that he's, you know, facing some righties and realizing that maybe he can't hit them as well as we thought he could earlier in the season. I don't know. It's a weird lineup as it is. I mean, Jose Ramirez mashes and Rosario's good and everybody else is kind of meh.
Yeah, I don't know what the Cleveland solution is. I mean, you got to turn to the prospects at some point in time, but
why? I mean, at some point, Bobby Radley's got to play, see what he can do instead of throwing Jake Bowers out there, right?
One would think, but here they are, and they just, I mean, Jordan Luplow, I mean, has his moments, and they've been playing him a little bit more, but I mean, he's kind of a known commodity.
Yeah, he mashes lefties and against righties. His whole career, he's been bad. Granted, he was pretty good this year to start, but it was like 25 at-bats, and he's getting, he got a little bit this week that he got exposed a little bit with against righties, and he's just he's a lefty masher, and I think he's kind of one of those guys that just what he is, but how many chances does Jake Bowers get to prove that he can't hit in the majors? I mean, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I think – so minor league season starts on Tuesday. So I think you're going to see about 2 weeks of minor league play, and you're going to start seeing a lot of moves. You're going to – you know, these guys – some of these prospects are going to get real competition. They want to see that. I mean, Jared Kelnick, we've been speculating for a while. I think it's pretty clear they want to see him play in the minor leagues a little bit before making that move. But
by the way, speaking of which, Kirilloff can hit a little bit. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
– he's mashing this weekend.
Yeah. Funny how it's just, again, ignore spring training numbers and let the prospect play. They're going to – you know, granted, he has a pretty, like, homer or nothing sort of line.
He does. He started off really slow, but I think he hit three home runs over the weekend and had another ball off the wall, and he was just mashing balls to left center. But Jimenez has three options. They could definitely send him down once the season starts if they want to just like kind of let him play every day and chill out for a little bit.
Yeah, and they got a kid named Tyler Freeman who's a middle infielder too who could eventually play.
Interesting. So yeah, that's it's a tough one. It was a guy that was he like moved up in the eighth and ninth round at 15 teamers, and it's been rough. So.
Yeah, he's this year's Delino DeShields Jr. winner.
Oh, that's never a good thing to win. Anybody else you want to talk about? Anything else on your mind before we get out of here? We've gone a little bit long, as we tend to sometimes do on Sunday nights, but anything else on your mind you want to bring up?
No, I think I'm pretty well covered here.
Can we do 20 more minutes on Sam Burns?
No, we can do that there. I will say this. JP was asking just a quick question on there. About Chris Paddock. Yes, he was a COVID guy. Although, again, we don't know details on that, whether it's a positive test. Or if he's close contact or what. So you don't know what to do with him coming in this week. Because the Padres don't have to say anything.
Corbin Burns, too. Like, he was maybe going to pitch today and didn't. And we have no idea when he's going to pitch. And it's, I mean, I think you figure he's going to pitch this week. But there's no way for us to know on those.
Yeah. Who has both Paddock and Burns in a keeper league? This guy.
That's Burns has worked out pretty well. Paddock.
Nuts. Yeah, I was just going to say, boo-hoo, cry for me. I'll leave Burns active and absent knowing, like, any – really negative detail, whereas Paddock, I mean, opportunity cost isn't as high. I can just bench him for a week in my conscious
world. Yeah, the tough one for me is I didn't use Carlos Martinez this week because he's going to pitch once, and then Adam Wainwright's brother got COVID, so he had tracing. So Martinez pitched Sunday and pitched really well. So it was two wins that were sitting on my bench, which is always fun in the season where wins are very difficult.
Oofda, you know, a shutout at that today.
Yeah, it's just one of some of those things. You're gonna have problems. You're not gonna be able to get around. We're still in the, you know, COVID's nothing. Not as we're not seeing as many as we did last year with, you know, teams missing games and all that. But we're still seeing guys that, and it's weird because you see a guy go in the IL and you're like, oh, this is terrible. Then he comes back in 1 or 2 days. You know, that's, or it's really good. I mean, at least Robert had that this week. So it's just one of those things that you got to stay attuned, you know, attention to the news and pay attention even more than usual.
Yeah, indeed.
So cool. Well, thanks for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the Sunday night / Monday morning version. If you have any questions or anything comes up, please hit us up on Twitter. Jeff is at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jensted. Other than that, we'll be good to go. See you next Sunday night. Take care and have a good week.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.